Please stand for the reading of the gospel. As we continue with the word of the Lord from Luke chapter 4, 16 through 30. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And he said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Physician, heal thyself. What we have heard you did at Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well.'" And he said, "Truly I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his hometown. But in truth I tell you, there were many widows in Israel during the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, and a great famine came over all the land, and Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elijah, and none of them were cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." When they heard these things, all in the synagogue were filled with wrath. And they rose up and drove him out of the town and brought him to the brow of a hill on which their town was built, so that they could throw him down the cliff. But passing through their midst, he went away. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Please be seated. Peace and grace to you from our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I would like to only focus on one small area today of our reading in our text, and that small area is, "Blessed are the poor." And in our text reading, "I have come to bring good news to the poor." And this is a very dangerous text in both the Old Testament and especially in the New Testament, because it's so easy to lose sight of what the Word of God is actually talking about. I am not going to tell you that when you leave here today, you should go down the hill and try to go on every freeway entrance and off-ramp and every light to give people money who are asking for money. I'm not going to ask that. Nor am I going to say to you, you should ignore those people either, because they should take care of themselves. That actually has nothing to do with being poor. And it's interesting, some of you may be thinking, well, what about the poor in spirit? "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God." And it's interesting, there's no such translation in the Bible. It is not the poor in spirit. It's literally in the Greek, "the poor that beg." Those poor who beg will inherit the kingdom of God. That's literally what it means. So what are we really talking about? What does it mean to be poor in Israel? What it has always been. What is the most important thing in God's relationship to his people in the Old Testament? And the answer is land. The Holy Land. The land of milk and honey. "I am your God, you are my people. As long as I alone am your God and you worship no other God, I will give you this land, and it will bear abundant fruit for you and all your children. And I will keep you safe, and you will be prosperous." as our reading today was, drink wine and eat the fat, for this is the Lord's feast. Every day in Israel should be the Lord's feast, because you are His children. Amen? That's really what it should be. So what happened, and it's interesting, the Lord said on the year of the Jubilee, what happens? All the land goes back to the original families that it was given to during the time of Moses. Did Israel ever do that? No. So what did you do? If you start having bad times financially, if you're a bad steward or the crops fail, what do you do? What's the first thing you do? Well, the first thing you do is you sell your daughter. Sorry, guys. You sell your daughters. And you buy grain, and you have the right to buy them back. So if you have a great harvest, not only do you have the right, but you legally have, can do that. As long as you give the exact amount that you received. So you sell your daughter over there, do you see? And so, because you're having a bad year this year. Good luck, honey. And so next year, everything works out great. So you go and you want to bring her home so you get to buy her back. Great. What happens if you have another bad year? Oh, well, I hope you have another daughter. If you don't have another daughter, then your son. And that really hurts. Because your sons are the ones who take care of you in your old age. That's your social security. What if you have another bad year? Well, now you get rid of your house, your furniture, your stock, livestock. What if you have another bad year? Well, now you are at your worst point. You sell your land. What happens when you sell your land? Can you redeem your children back? No. Because what resources do you have? None. To be poor in the Bible is to be without land. To be without land. To be literally homeless. Oh, is that the meaning of Exodus? When the children of Israel were in Egypt, were they homeless? Were they where they were supposed to be? No. What happened when they were taken to Babylon? Were they homeless? Yes, because they were not in their land. What about after Rome, after the destruction of the temple and the destruction of Israel? Were they homeless for almost the last 2,000 years? Yes. They are the poor. And what does Jesus say? I've come to give good news to the poor. All right, then. What is the good news? It's self-evident, isn't it? The good news is I get my land back. I get a home. I get my home back. I get my children back. I get my wife back. I get my things back. I have a place to lay my head. Notice Jesus is homeless, isn't he? Does he have a home in the Bible, especially when he's ministering in his 3 years of ministry? Foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He is truly an Israelite. He's a Jew. He's a child of God. He's walking with the sinner, all of Israel, homeless. Because where's our real home? Our real home is with God. Our real home is paradise. Israel was never, ever meant to be the permanent home of the children of God. I'm going to say that again. Israel was never meant to be the permanent home for the children of God. And let me give you a biblical proof. When Solomon built the temple, and on the day of dedication, they brought the ark into the Holy of Holies, right? Now, how did they carry the ark during the time of Moses? They had poles alongside it, right? And you had people in front and you had people behind carrying it, right? When they placed the ark in the Holy of Holies, did they remove the poles or did they stay? They stayed. God commanded, don't remove the poles. What does that mean? If God himself said, don't take those poles out of the ark, what is the implication then? He was ready to get up and move. This is not my permanent place. He knew the children of Israel would fail. He knew they would go to Babylon. He knew the temple would be destroyed. And he goes, I'm ready to go. This is not my permanent home. Only in the New Testament does God make a permanent home with us. And that's in Jesus Christ. Because what does Jesus Christ do? He's nailed to the cross. How far can you go if you're nailed? Not very far. Is that a permanent place? He's permanently with us. He permanently walks with a sinner. He's permanently offering redemption and forgiveness. We receive his body and blood today. We're hearing his words today. We're in fellowship with his children today. He is constantly offering that redemption to us. And he is not going to leave us. Now, if Israel is not the permanent land of the kingdom of God, and Jesus says in the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit, or blessed are the poor, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? And the simplest answer is Jesus. Jesus is the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. Jesus is the kingdom of God. Now, what do we mean when Jesus is the kingdom of God? Jesus, you cannot be rich in grace and be poor. You must have the kingdom of God in order not to be poor. Follow so far? Got that argument? What does that mean? Well, it means that you cannot live in fear. What happens when you're homeless? You live in fear. Do you know where you're going to spend this night? Do you know what's going to happen to you? How vulnerable are you? How can you protect yourself? How can you feed yourself? These become serious issues. Serious issues. You're living from day to day. And so what builds up over time more and more? A deep sense of fear. An anxiety. What happens when people lose their jobs? Well, how am I going to pay the rent? Or how am I going to pay the mortgage? How am I going to pay my car payment? How am I going to take care and hold on all to all the stuff I'm accumulated? Fear begins to take care, hold of them. Why? Because they may lose what they have. What does Satan want to instill in you? Fear. Fear. Can you be in the kingdom of God if you are afraid? What does God say over and over and over again in both the Old Testament and the New Testament? Fear not! Fear not, for I am with you. We are to be liberated from our fears that Satan brings into our lives by the richness of God's promise. Let me say it again. We are liberated from the fears that Satan brings into our lives through the richness of God's promise. Do you trust God? Do you live by faith? God said, you're forgiven in his blood. Amen?
Amen.
Do you sit there and go, well, I don't know if this one's going to be forgiven. I don't know about that one. I can't forgive myself, so how can I forgive? How can God forgive me? Well, thank God God's not you. Amen?
Amen.
God can forgive. And not only can God has forgiven you. You are forgiven. If God said it in the blood of his son, it's done. Receive it. Accept it. You've been freed. You're now a child of God. You're part of the kingdom. That means we have a home. Not here, but it's coming. We have a home. And we live in the richness of God's promise. Now, I want you to take a little quick look around. I've shared this with you before. Seriously, take a little look around. I guarantee you, over half of you would have nothing to do with the other half. Let me say it again. That sounds harsh, but half of you would have nothing to do with the other half. Have you guys met in a bar? I don't want to talk to that person. You guys met at Vons or Stater Brothers in the parking lot or in line? You would have talked to each other. You would have liked each other. But you know, you come here and you're brothers and sisters, aren't you? How about the disciples? Did they really get along? Were they one big happy family, just agreeing with everyone and celebrating, and it was a wonderful little time? Or were they in conflict with each other and with Jesus? Yeah, they were. But they were God's disciples, chosen and elected by God Himself in Jesus Christ. Amen. Have we been elected, called, and chosen by God to be His family, His kingdom, right here, right now, in this place?
Yes.
Yes. Now, Mike and Roxanne, you have chosen to marry each other and to have a family, right? But also, your family has become the family of God as well. You've elevated that through God's grace. You've opened your hearts and lives to God in your life. And now it's even more than that. It's part of the kingdom. Isn't that great? It's part of God's kingdom. Same thing for all of you. We're here because we're part of God's. We are rich in the promises of God, and we have a home. That's the good news. And it's a good news because Christ nailed Himself to the cross. And He's not going anyplace. He's not going to disappear. He's not going to say, well, today I'm going to offer you forgiveness, but tomorrow, I'm sorry, I changed my mind. Today, your sins are taken care of, but tomorrow, oy vey, who knows? Good luck. As in the Old Testament, God was ready to leave His people. Because in their hearts, they were more than ready to leave Him. Do you realize what is being said here to us? In the Old Testament, did the people of God have the Holy Spirit? Did God dwell in His people? No. What about us? Do we have the Holy Spirit? Does God dwell in us? God has made a permanent home with us. We are His kingdom. Now that means He may have to use a 2x4 across the head or one big army boot, you know where, to get us where we need to be. But He's going to do it. Amen. Because He walks with us as sinners. But He sees us as righteous because of the sacrifice of His blood that He's given. The good news is Jesus Christ. The good news is we're home. The good news is we're rich in the promises of God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.